This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who offer awesome beer-related experiences, including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. They also own and operate Sydney Beer Week, Sydney's biggest and best celebration of beer, running from the 20th to the 29th of October. It's bound to be another great festival this year, with events ranging from a table tennis competition at the Welcome to, of course, Sessionable's own live podcast at the Royal Albert on the night of Monday the 23rd. For the full program, hit up sydneybeerweek.com.au, and for more info on Dave's, check out daves.com.au. All right, on with the show.
Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. It's just me, Tom, hosting today, but I am joined by an awesome guest. I've got Chris from Sailor's Grave. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, we've met before. We've done an Ale Stars together, and I also think I drunkenly came up to you at Gab's and told you your beer was my favourite.
That's great.
Because I did love the milk.
They're the best kind of drunken moments.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's better than you coming up to me and saying, I hate your beer.
That's shit.
Yes.
Yeah, no. It was actually Liam, who's one of the other hosts. He joked that he knew I'd love that beer because I just love Cowper's. Like, that's one of my favourites.
Yes.
So. But anyway, Sailor's Grave. Why don't you start off with kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and about Sailor's Grave and sort of that whole your whole journey being here.
Yeah, well, Sailor's Grave is very small. It's just me and my wife, Gabby. We live on a farm in the middle of nowhere, about 5 hours east of Melbourne, 7 hours south of Sydney, on the sort of far east coast of Victoria, east far east Gippsland. And the brewery's just up the road in an old butter factory, about 20 minutes up the road on the banks of the Snowy River. Yeah, we're very young. We've only been around for a year now, but we're having a ball. We really like where we come from, and we love trying to express as much of that place as we can in the beers that we make. So, I mean, it's difficult. You know, we have a long-term vision for micro-malting and hop farm, but as much as we can, we still try and use the produce of our farm or our neighbour's farms or whatever's in season, whether it's, you know, my wife's sister's farm is doing the hay, so we go, well, let's put hay in a beer, or there's a bounty of mandarins on a farm next door, let's do a beer. It's very much driven by Gabby coming up to me and saying, there's all this so-and-so, this mandarins or the bergamot or the hay, can you make a beer out of this? And it's like, yeah, I'm sure we can.
Why not, right?
Yeah. But we're driven a lot by balance. I mean, we are unafraid to put anything in a beer, but we don't want to make beers that are just novelty for novelty's sake. We're very much about subtle flavours and layers of flavour and balance. And, you know, that's not always easy when you're throwing a lot of strange things into beer.
And it's also, I can't imagine it'd be too easy when, you know, I think the beer market at the moment is dominated by these loud beer nerds who are calling for bourbon barrel-aged maple syrup stouts. And
that's true.
You know,
It is very hard sometimes, especially if you're in a lineup with high alcohol beers or massive flavoured beers, the subtle stuff can be overlooked. But we seem to have found a nice niche.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... We are not for everybody, but we get a lot of positive feedback and we're really happy with what we're doing. It's definitely a market that's about a big heroic styles a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think it's starting to, you know, you're seeing people starting to come around. It almost seems like this big wheel where you have, you know, a lot of people who kind of started off their craft beer journey 5-10 years ago, and then they went through that phase where they want the big brash beers because it's kind of like
from the normal.
And now starting to come back around to subtlety and to pilsners and to
the
lighter styles where you can actually get a lot of really interesting flavors. And
find that, you know, a clean palate is a really great starting point to express subtleties and to express the nuances of what you're dealing with. You know, you can load a beer up with flavour, but it loses something, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Having said that, I'll still reach for a massive IPA now and then. You know,
absolutely.
I drink every style of beer.
No, same. 100%. But it can be really nice to have those more subtle beers and kind of search for some really interesting flavours that you kind of don't see as much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you guys have been on the market in Sydney at least for the last, 6 months or?
Yeah, probably eight months. Yeah.
I've been really enjoying all your stuff. What are some of the, in your opinion, the standouts of your range? Like, what are some of the beers that you brew that you love? Or
I do love our core range just because we've worked so long and hard. Yep. to get them right.
Nail it, yeah.
But the most fun I have is always with special releases. Our farmhouse range is really an evolving beast, and I'm really happy with where that's going. We've had our autumn farmhouse, which was with carrot seed heads, so yep. Carrots that have gone to seed, and rye, and it had a beautiful kind of peppery, estery, saison
nice.
Yeast.
Yep.
Our winter farmhouse, we've partially fermented on Pinot Noirese in a Pinot Noir barrel from a local winery, balanced with saison yeast and with rose root and rose hips that we dug up from the side of the road near Canberra on a trip with the family that we conned the kids into.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway. So I'm really happy with that range. I'm loving where it's going. I mean, it's the direction we really want to head in. We have a lot of barrels that are currently full and evolving.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to start blending some of those flavors into what we're already doing with that farmhouse range. So I'm really happy with that range. And, you know, anything that uses something that's from us or from our neighbors, it feels true to us. You know, something that we have to like drive 5 hours and dig up from the side of the road, just as true to us. You know, there's a closeness through the effort, I guess. But that said, I love the Milky Way, which was our Gab's beer, you know, we set ourselves the challenge. Gab's beers are traditionally very high alcohol, very high flavor. Can we do a low alcohol beer that has a lot of craziness? And it is pretty crazy. It was a Berliner Weiss brewed with lactose and custard apple. And it's a bit of a hard sell in a lot of ways. Creamy and sour and custard apple-y, but it worked. And, you know, it was inspired by a Japanese soft drink. And that, you know, as much as that's a bit of a departure from the long-term direction, I still love doing beers like that.
Absolutely.
That can keep that subtle brief, but be really weird at the same time.
So you mentioned you got your barrels that are evolving. Kind of what are some other things that you're looking at going forward for Sailor's Grave? What are some
places? Well, we've just installed a cool ship. It's a bit of a makeshift cool ship. Not at the brewery, but down on the farm next to the orchard and the chook yard. So it's really just an old dairy tank.
Yep.
But it's not probably traditionally shallow enough for a cool ship. But we also get some pretty cold temperatures there. So I think it'll be interesting. It's an experiment.
Absolutely.
But we're just about to do our first. So we'll make the wort back at the brewery, transfer it down there, inoculate it over one or two nights, probably two nights instead of the normal R1, which is playing with fire a little bit. But we'll see. I've done some experiments down there, and the natural inoculation down there produces a pretty sweet tasting fermentation. So I'm pretty confident that it's going to be good.
Sounds really exciting. Yeah.
And we've got a bunch of white wine barrels ready to transfer that stuff into for some barrel ferments. And, you know, we try minimal intervention with the barrels.
Yep.
We don't want to sterilize the hell out of them. We want to see what they've got in them and work with that. Like some of the barrels we've got going at the moment are from Patrick Sullivan, a natural winemaker, and every single one of those barrels smelt completely different when they were empty. It's like, great. That's exactly what we want. We're not going to try and clean them up too much.
No.
We're going to
let them do their thing.
Let them do their thing. So,
yeah, that's really exciting.
I mean, we're pretty a bit loose probably, but our vision is to just play with what we can get out of the environment down there, and hopefully we're going to get some great stuff. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be tipping a lot out, but that's part of it.
Yeah, but I'm sure some of it will turn out amazingly.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Now, moving away from Sailor's Grave a bit, what have some breweries or beers that have really been exciting you? What are you kind of enjoying about the way the Australian beer scene's evolving at the moment?
I think there's three really good examples of breweries which excite me, and it is in quite different ways. I guess in the middle would be La Sirene.
Yep.
They have evolved in complexity so much and are doing such amazingly balanced, complex beers. I love those guys. But probably on the two sides of those guys are pioneers which I really respect as well, and that'd be obviously Ashley from 2 Meter Tall,
yep.
who is the bravest brewer I have ever met.
Slash nuts a little bit. Yep. But yep.
Yep. I wish I was him. Yep. I wish I had the balls to be him because he is fearless.
And all credit to him, he had to be fearless to be putting out sour beers years ago in a market where they didn't know what sour beer was.
Yeah. And the results speak for themselves. Yeah, there's nothing like them. So, no. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The other side would be Wildflower, who is new to the scene, but not really new to the scene.
No, Tove's been around for a while. He's worked for a lot of breweries and he knows his stuff. Yeah.
And I just really respect the restraint, the balance, the whole concept, his whole approach, the integrity of it. Just can't go wrong, really. Yeah. You know, and the results are great because they're not trying to be showy. They are very different from whatever's out there on the market at the moment, but he's not trying to show off in any way with those beers. They are so balanced and so beautiful. It's
similar to what you were saying was kind of your guiding ethos. Balance and subtlety. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess they're the things that are exciting me at the moment in the Australian beer scene. And I love seeing, especially the crossover between the wine world and the beer world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of promise moving away from a lot of the chest thumping and into food matching and into nuance and into provenance. Yep. There's a lot of similarities with the wine world, and the wine world is suddenly starting to open up to the beer world.
I've noticed that. I don't know. I'm not super into the wine world, but I have noticed, especially with sort of the natural wine scene, that feels a lot more like a craft beer scene than a traditional wine scene. And and then going to these, you know, the farmhouse ales and sort of those lighter yeast-driven beers, especially starting to talk about them more in wine terms, about provenance, about food matching.
And especially if you move away from hops. As much as I love hops, hops are often the deal breaker when it comes to the wine world. Overly bitter, highly hop beers are seen as macho.
Yeah, well, they're brash, they're big.
And they've often been the reason that the wine world resists a lot of the innovation that the beer world is doing. Yep. But I think because of the expansion in range of styles, it's starting to bleed into each other, which is fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. And I also really enjoy when the two sort of come together. You were saying you've done some beers with different
local wine maker. That was fantastic, actually. We ended up blending that beer because we only had a 300-litre single hogshead of Pinot barrel, and that had been sitting, that yeast, the lees, the Pinot lees, had been sitting at the bottom of that, under that Pinot for months and months and months. The wine was racked off the day before.
Yeah.
We diverted wort into there and into the tank, but it fermented beautifully. And next year I want to do a straight lees beer because the Pinot lees produced this wonderful, wonderful flavour. It's great blended with the Saison yeast as well, but on its own it's really different. Loved it. Mm.
You've been talking a lot about your sort of local area, about where, you know, that you guys really want to focus on where you're from, where Saber's Grave is brewed and where it's from. Yeah. Is it possible for anyone to come visit you yet? Or
anybody can come visit. Yeah, it's a bit of a tumbleweeds town, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm in the middle of canning, I'll probably not have much time.
No, of course. Yeah.
But, you know, if you give me a call, anybody can come and visit. We're not open to the public purely because we have a wholesale license.
Yeah, gotcha.
But anybody who manages to make it that far out to come and visit us, we'll show them every hospitality, you know.
Awesome. Yeah. And we might keep this one short tonight just because I kind of want to go get a beer.
I'm empty too.
But, I did warn you before the show started. I'm not just springing this on you, but we always end the show off with recommendations.
Yeah.
It's beer and non-beer. I can go first to give you a little bit more time to think if you want. Or
I don't mind. I can go.
Why don't you go? What beer have you got to, or beer-related thing do you have to?
It's repeating myself, but harking back to 2 Meter Tall, I'd say his original sour ale is still a standout for me, and if you can find it, buy a few, drink one now, let the others change, see what happens.
A couple of months ago, I think Creek and Chella had a keg of Derwent Spelt Ale, and it was just sublime. It was
great. Love to have been.
Love what they do. My beer recommendation is an oldie but a goodie. We've just put Hop Hog back on tap here at the Albert, and it's fresh, and it is just, I had a sip of it and I was like, where have you been for the last couple of months? I haven't had one for ages, and it was just like, you know, an old lover or something. Like, really nice.
Yeah, great beer.
Yeah. And you have something that's not beer related to recommend?
I guess this is probably cheating a little bit and a little bit self-serving, because it is slightly beer-related.
Oh, that's all right.
But it's not. We just did an oyster stout with Wappengo Oysters, who are from the south coast of New South Wales. And the illustration on the can was done by our illustrator a year ago when he was staying with us on our farm. And we took him up to somewhere everyone should go, and that is the Eden Whale Museum.
Okay.
I mean, the story of this beer is... on the illustration is slightly different from the beer itself, but these whale hunters, this is going back when whale hunting was socially integrated, or at least integrated, or something that was done by Australians. But they used to use the orcas, the local pod of killer whales, would help them round up the humpbacks, and the orcas used to be left to feast on the organs and the lips and the tongue of the baleen whales. And we call this beer Law of the Tongue. But all this information comes from us, this visit to the Eden Whale Museum. Yep. So the Eden Whale Museum, if you're doing a coastal trip, head on down there.
Yep.
It's a little bit kitsch, but hey.
Oh, why not? That sounds awesome. That's a really cool recommendation. Yeah. And I have now forgotten what I was going to recommend.
The latest spoiler for Game of Thrones?
I mean, I think we've recommended Game of Thrones recently on the podcast, but... I'm going to get in trouble for this. But yeah, I'm going to recommend it again. It's either that or I recommend more Survivor, which is my other obsession. So I won't
that. I bag out Survivor so much, but I actually was in a hotel somewhere and watched it recently. And my wife is next to me and I woke her up. I think I was drunk as well. But I woke her up to say, Survivor's actually really good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. But I'm not recommending it because I've gotten in trouble for re-recommending it before. But I'm going to say, I'm going to get in trouble. Game of Thrones just finished.
Don't tell me anything.
I won't. But I'm going to recommend going back and just slowly re-watching everything of it. Just watch from the start, because this season especially called back to so much.
Funny you should say that, because my nephew, or my wife's nephew really, every time he gets a new girlfriend, he goes back to the start of Game of Thrones as part of their bonding process and watches from the beginning. I think he's watched, I don't want to say how many times because it'll give away how many girlfriends he's had,
but he's watched it a few times.
Suspicious that he just keeps breaking up with girls so he can go
just
back
so he can
start,
go back and
go
watch
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And with that, I think we'll finish up this episode. But thank you very much for taking the time to sit down with me and have a chat, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Yeah, no worries. And I'm looking forward to getting a beer in a sec.
Cheers.
Sessionable.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, which has been brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group. If you're strapped for time because you've been listening to this podcast for too long, they've got a great new thing they're calling the 2x2 Evening Tour. Two of Sydney's best breweries in 2 hours with loads of beer included and a pub meal at the end just to seal the deal. It's excellent value and doesn't take up a lot of your time, so get amongst it. Hit up daves.com.au. See you later.